It was there that I felt the love of God come inside of me. I felt the love of God come around me. It was there where I literally felt a 900-pound weight of sin taken off of my shoulders, and I knew that I was born again.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi guys, thank you for tuning in to what's going to be such a special episode of Live Your Best Life. This week with me, of course, Liz Wright. And my special guest joining me today has literally equipped thousands of people in more than 30 countries around the world in how to supernaturally, effectively, powerfully share Jesus. He equips people in supernatural evangelism, pastors, leaders, and just, like I said, thousands of people. And he's now the author of what I think is an incredibly important book for this time that we're living in right now. It's called Capturing Heaven's Attention. So you're going to hear more about this today. Just prepare yourselves. You're going to be really empowered today by listening into this conversation with the amazing Chris Overstreet. Chris, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Liz.
Oh, no, I'm just excited to see what Holy Spirit's going to do as we have this conversation. So the first thing I wanted to say, Chris, when I was reading your book, I was really impacted by how you've experienced so much of the love of God, and you're literally motivated, like you're compelled by his love. So I thought, I want to start by asking you how you experienced that. How did you become, like, what's your God story? How did you become the way you are now, which is literally just experiencing his love and the motivating force of your life being his love?
That's a great question. I think it starts in my Jesus story. You know, I was raised in the church, but, you know, you can go to church and not be a Christian, just like going to a McDonald's doesn't make you a cheeseburger. And so,
Yep.
When I was 18 years old, I went to jail. And somebody began to share Jesus with me in jail. And at first, I didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. But the second day after hearing the gospel, I was aware of three distinctive things. And number one, that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He rose again the third day. And number two, I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. But the third thing is although I'm a sinner, you know, although that I have sinned and I've made big mistakes, Christ died for me and he loves me. All I need to do is humble myself and repent of my sin and put faith in him. I took a Bible, got on my knees and just began to surrender my life to Christ. And it was there that I felt the love of God come inside of me. I felt the love of God come around me. It was there where I literally felt a 900-pound weight of sin taken off of my shoulders, and I knew that I was born again. And so that was the beginning point of my journey with Jesus Christ. And you know, the Lord has always redirected me. It's about his heart. So it's about his heart for me. It's his heart for people. And that is what I have always wanted to be in tune with. And I think it's a journey. We're growing, you know, to discover the love of Christ. And so it's not just like a one-time event. It's a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's just amazing, isn't it? Like when he crashes in on our life like that, in that moment for you, just everything changes. For me, that's the most important thing, is like, it's the strength of our life, isn't it? As we experience his love, it just melts our hearts and purifies us. And it just gives us a very different foundation to live from, that strength, that core strength. And so, and I know you were set free from fear of man, weren't you, in a very powerful way?
I feel like that, you know, the Gospel of Luke, when we look at the Gospel of Luke, you know, Jesus makes it very clear, if you're going to be my disciple, you can't have allegiance to any other. And I feel like that the church actually has unhealthy soul ties with people that creates the fear of man. And in the early days in my life, The Lord just began to challenge me, like, Chris, you need to put a Christian t-shirt on. And because you are afraid of what people think about you, you're afraid of what people think about you in the church, you're afraid of what people think about you outside of the church. And the Lord took me on a journey, you know, of overcoming the fear of man. And so sometimes that fear of man will pop up, but then you have to realize that's a spirit. And you have to stay in tune. Like, I have no other allegiance but the allegiance of being a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So obviously this is a huge issue for people, you know, as we know, like all over the world. It's so interesting that you said we get unhealthily soul tied to people, you know, mm-hmm. and that creates fear of man. I've never heard it said that way before. That's profound. It's a key, isn't it? Like, you know, to it really is. Take a look at how we're connected to people. And yeah.
I mean, Luke 14 really describes it well. And, you know, and Jesus says here in Luke 14:26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, wife, children, brother and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, it cannot be my disciple. And Jesus is talking about allegiance. Where is your allegiance at? And so many times we have allegiance in systems, we have allegiance in movements, we have allegiance in people, but our allegiance is not directed on Christ if it's focused on everyone else. And I feel like that's such a snare. And many people they're not growing in their faith as a disciple of Jesus because their allegiance is on people instead of on him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. If we just pay attention to the order of our hearts with regards to our relationships, and that you say, you know, our allegiance is to Jesus first and foremost. If anything creeps into our heart that takes precedence in importance over him, we end up inadvertently straying into idolatry, really, don't we? Because we've prioritized something else. And like you said, then we become so vulnerable, you know, mm-hmm. And then we're back in fear. It's actually fear of man, isn't it? Really? It's just dressed up in different guises. That's really powerful. The other thing that I was really struck by when I was reading your book was your obedience. Like, the Lord's required you out of relationship with him to walk in obedience, and the power of that. Like, the story, is it with Gerald? Is it Gerald, the story, the beginning of your book? Would you share some of that story? I was crying reading that. It's like, gosh, that's beautiful. And it's the power, it illustrates the power of obedience.
Yeah. And it goes back to our allegiance.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm at Bethel Church, and I'm at the leaders events, and there's leaders from all over the world there. And people that I admire, and people that I'm inspired by, people that I honor. And while worship is taking place, Jen Johnson is leading a song, and she's leading, I Just Want to Be Where You Are. And the Lord speaks to my heart, and he says, well, if you want to be where I'm at, then leave right now. I want you to go to this particular street called 273. And in my mind, you know, there's that tug of war, like, well, what is people going to think? You know, you know, here I am, I'm with all these leaders. You know, I need to impress them, all that nonsense. But the Lord says, I want you to leave right now. And if you want to be where I'm at, then go there, because I want you to pray for someone. So I leave, I get in my car, and I'm driving. And this street is probably around 10 minutes away from the church, 10, 15 minutes. And I pull up on the corner there, and I see this guy that's got a hoodie on. And I pull over and I say, hey, man, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And I said, I want to pray for you tonight. God sent me here. And he says, yeah, okay. He says, what's your name? And I pull over and I said, my name is Chris Overstreet. And he said, prove it to me. And he said, show me your ID. And I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. I've never had anyone ask me for my ID before. It's right. Wild.
Especially a little guy in a hoodie. And, you know.
I know. And so I give him my ID and he says, this is crazy. Before you pray for me, I have to tell you something. So I was raised in this community. And when I was a child, I was taken out of my home because my parents were doing things that were wrong. And it was taken out of his home and put into foster care. His foster grandma told him that one day he would meet Chris Overstreet. Now, this was 15 years prior, that one day he would meet Chris Overstreet and that Chris Overstreet would help him. So I pray for him. I explain the simple gospel of it's time to surrender your life to Christ. And he says, yes. And so we pray and the power of God comes on him. He falls out under the power of God on the hood of my vehicle. And he just begins to get delivered and the power of God comes on him. And then, you know, he tells me later on that 10 days prior to me meeting him, he was walking across the Cypress Bridge in Redding, California, late at night. And he said, God, you hate me. You hate me. Look at my life. If you love me so much, then where is that Chris Overstreet that my grandma would talk about? Where is he? If you love me so much, then why don't you get his attention and speak to him and bring him directly to me? So I'm so proud of Gerald. Like, you know, God has done such an amazing thing in his life. As a disciple, he's made some hard decisions. You know, he's learning what it means to follow Christ. But I'm so proud of what God is doing in his life. But I look back at that and it's like, I'm glad that the Lord has taught me don't have any allegiance to any unhealthy relationships that take place of the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And look at the fruit of that. I mean, it's just stunning. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, can you? Can you imagine what it must have been like for him in that moment seeing you? He must have been completely like overwhelmed. Did he just in that moment, did he just experience the love of God as he wrecked and landed on your car?
Oh, absolutely. Experienced the heart of God. But, you know, it went beyond that. It's just it's like it, that moment is the turning point of his life where it was like God has a call over my life. And it's based on it goes back to that. God, you love me, that you sent somebody to tell me how much you love me and how much you have a plan for my life. And it's just powerful.
Just amazing. Just amazing. So you're still in relationship with him?
Absolutely.
You are.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's been a few years. I'm so proud of the young man, of what God's done in his life, you know, so behind the scenes, you know, with relationship and just trying to, you know, helping the young man out. Very proud of him. You know, I won't give the details, but he works at a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center right now, helping people come out of addiction. And it's just amazing what God is doing in his life. And it's just the beginning.
Oh, my gosh. I just think that your life is such an encouragement for us. Like you said, if we will just have our right allegiance to Jesus as our priority, we're experiencing his love. And then you out of a relationship with him, the way you were walking in obedience then transformed that man's life. And now he's giving back in such a beautiful way in his community with just his identity intact. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. It's such an encouragement to just walk this way, you know, in simplicity. So I wanted to ask you, Chris, so lots of people that we are in communication with around the world, they're timid about sharing Jesus, want to share Jesus, but don't know how to do that effectively. I mean, obviously you're illustrating this through your life, the how-tos, you know, so beautifully. But I wanted to ask you, because you equip people all over the world in this, can you give us some keys, like to be able to move from that sort of insecurity, fear of man, not quite sure how to do this, you know, to actually being powerful expressions of the love of Jesus and sharing him?
Yeah, I would love to be able to give a few of them. First, everyone has a Jesus story. Based in Acts chapter 26, you know, Paul describes what his life was like before Christ, how he met Christ, and what Christ has been doing in his life and through his life. I think everyone should begin to discover their Jesus story, because their Jesus story is extremely powerful, but it becomes even more powerful when they learn to articulate it. So I would encourage people to identify their story and then begin to communicate it. They can start it with friends, start communicating their story, and then understand his story. So we have our own personal Jesus story, and then we have to understand his story. And it would flow out of just a few things. First, identity. So we're not sharing a story. We're not sharing the gospel for identity. We share the gospel from identity. And we see that Jesus, when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of living God came upon him, and the heavens split open, and the Spirit of God came on him. And the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased in." And then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he was tested and he was tempted. And it was all over his identity. And Jesus said this, which is really key in proclaiming the gospel and sharing the good news, is he said, I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we see right there identity, we see the word, and then we see Spirit-led obedience. But there's one other key ingredients with it, and many people forget this, is mission. Jesus was on a mission. And so if we don't know our identity and we don't know the word of God and we're not led by the Spirit, we'll never step into mission. And I mean, if we look at the very roots of Christianity is a missions movement. It's a missions movement. Jesus said, "Come and follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." And so I feel like that we make things so complicated. But if when we're getting close to the heart of the Lord, we'll discover what's on his heart. Yeah. And the good news is on his heart. So I would say, okay, know your Jesus story, know the patterns, know the patterns, know the history of, like, okay, Christianity is a missions movement. And the Great Commission was never meant to be the Great Suggestion, but the Great Commission, it's not just people that are standing on stages and preaching or in arenas, or, you know, it's like the everyday life, the ecclesia, you know, the church becoming the ecclesia, the mission of Jesus to express the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think understanding that God's called us to make disciples is so important. And I will say this is understanding the good news that God loves us. We are created in the image of God. Our sins and our selfishness is what separates us from God. Our sins and our selfishness and cannot be taken away by good works, good deeds, or money, no matter how much we pay into an offering. It's not going to take away the sin and the guilt. Deliverance came on the cross over 2,000 years ago as Jesus Christ hung on the bloody cross. No one needs to go to hell. And everyone that repents of their sins shall have eternal life. And with Jesus, yeah. Is eternal life. Without Jesus is eternal destruction. And salvation starts the moment we say yes to Jesus Christ. I think knowing the gospel helps us communicate it. And I think there's a lot of fuzziness, fuzziness around the gospel. So I think understanding that is very important.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Jesus is really helping us right now, isn't he? He's decluttering and, you know, like you said, it's fuzzy. It can be confusing what the gospel actually is. And he's bringing everything back, I believe, to us understanding the gospel like the early church did, and restoring that capacity to move in our authentic identity in the power of Holy Spirit, you know, moving through the earth, led by the Holy Spirit, filled with Holy Spirit, compelled by his love. Like he's that's your walk. You know, you are an illustration to us of what happens when you live in intimate relationship with Jesus. You know, growing in that security and that experience of his love, it's just powerful. I love what you said. There's a missing ingredient that many of us don't have, which is mission. You know, we've got to understand the gospel. We've got to understand the reason why we're here, what the whole mission of heaven is, you know, mm-hmm. to bring, I really feel Holy Spirit there. Wow. Talk to us a little bit about that more, a little bit more about that, Chris, like the kingdom of God. What is the mission in Jesus's heart?
Yeah, I mean, we see it clear. He wants us to make disciples. And so there's a whole misunderstanding about even discipleship, you know.
Bring some clarity for us around this, because it will be super helpful to, clear the mist, guys.
Look at like even the Quaker movement is amazing as the Quaker movement was. We look at how they were so radical in the beginning. And while they were being radical, there was persecution. The moment the persecution stopped, There was laws that began to protect them from the persecution, and then they went into business, which we have to understand. Like, okay, so now they begin to prosper. People begin to see the Quakers as individuals that they can trust, and they begin to excel in business. But the moment they begin to excel in business, they forgot their DNA. They forgot the mission to make disciples, and they changed it like we're going to become successful businessmen. And still today in the church, that is a mindset that creeps in. It's like success, that's bringing the kingdom. Well, yes, but no, at the same time, is like we can be good kingdom businessmen and women and express the kingdom of God, but let's not forget the mission, and that's to make disciples. And if we're going to make disciples, we have to teach them what Jesus said. We got to teach them, these are the commandments that Jesus said, and these are the things that we need to do to follow him. And so I think that in our very DNA, if we're not on mission, we'll always be looking for this and that and this to fill the void. Yes. But it's very mission of Jesus Christ to make disciples and to teach people. And so every one of us, we have a teaching ministry. We may not stand on pulpits and teach, but we have a teaching ministry. And that is to teach people how to follow Jesus and to be one of his disciples.
Yeah, it really is teaching people the truth of who they are, isn't it? How to walk with him and who we actually are, so that people can live authentically. Mm-hmm. And like you said, and have divine perspective and divine purpose. And it just keeps, it's a plumb line for our lives, isn't it? So regardless of what we do in life, what business we're in, you know, whether we're mum or dad, you know, staying at home with the children and raising a family, or a CEO of a boardroom, or whatever, president of a nation, the purpose through it all is to bring people back into the truth of who we actually are in Christ. Like you said at the beginning, we are his image, we are his children. And we've been under such shrouds of deception, you know, separated from him. And actually, this is the way we awaken, isn't it? We've got to get back to discipling people in the truth, you know, living it authentically. And then I think you can't help yourself, can you? The deeper in intimacy you are with him, and the more experiencing his love, you know, that's that, as a lifestyle that becomes, you just are compelled, which is, when I'm reading your book, that's all the way through it. It's like you're just compelled by his love and the experience of his love, that everybody would awaken into that.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, there's sometimes when the Lord asks us to do things that, you know, our flesh is screaming, we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's much more convenient is sometimes not to obey. And we can come up with all kinds of reasons why not to. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves the question, am I a disciple of Jesus? Because a disciple is a learner and a follower of Jesus, and one that will obey him. And I think at the end of the day, that's what Jesus is enlisting us to be, is disciples that will make disciples. And that will make disciples. And it comes out of identity. And there are a lot of people that, you know, that they've never heard the gospel, and heaven is real and so is hell. And I think understanding clear doctrine is important too, because if there's fuzziness around doctrine, and that God is so loving that, you know, no one could go to hell or no one would go to hell, there is no urgency in the gospel. And I think that's very dangerous too.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to sit in truth, don't we? We absolutely have to sit in the truth. And then there is huge fruitfulness that comes from living the truth and knowing the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. Yeah, so important. Oh my gosh, can I ask you to pray for people, perhaps who particularly people, you guys, any of you who are stuck in fear right now, fear of man, or that confusion that you're talking about, because there's been this fuzziness where you're just not clear, to just get you back into that connected place with Jesus. It's the most important thing. So would you pray?
I would love to, Liz. Father, I just everyone that's watching right now, that the reason why they're watching is they feel a stirring in their heart. They truly want to follow you. There is a desire that's inside of them to follow you. And Lord, I pray that you would make Christianity simple. Lord, I pray that for their identity, that their identity would be literally rooted and grounded in you, and they would build their life around the rock, on the rock. And the sand is so deceptive, Lord. And Lord, that they would literally allow your word to shift things and guide their life, and they would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, where Holy Spirit, that you would lead and guide them with the power of your Spirit. And Lord, let them become missional. Wherever you're calling them to be, Lord, let them become missional to make disciples that will make disciples, that will make disciples. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Oh, such a strong presence of Holy Spirit. Wow. Amen, amen. You know, when you were praying then and you were just praying about us being able to be disciples and be clear about the mission, I kept hearing again, I've been hearing this from Holy Spirit for a while, that we're an outpost of heaven. His intention in his heart that the earth would become an outpost, his kingdom would come on earth, you know, as it is in heaven. And I just feel such an acceleration at this time to establish that, you know, that the king, it's the time of the kingdom coming on earth, you know, according to his intention. So yeah. It will all be equipped to be able to participate in that from our intimate relationship with Jesus, fear-free, compelled by love, as an overflowing expression from our union with Jesus, from our oneness. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful. It's so good to talk to you, Chris. Thank you so much for giving us your time, and thank you for being obedient and writing this book, because it's really profound and it's life-changing, and it makes you hungry reading it. It's like, you know, I want more, even more, Jesus. So
thank you. I just thank the Lord. I had dyslexia and the Lord healed me, and so he me to start writing books. And I want to pray for anyone that has dyslexia that may be watching, really quick. Lord, heal me, and you're a healer. That's in your nature. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you release your creative power right now. Release your healing miracle power on people's lives in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. We agree. Yeah. Miracles. Let us know when you're healed. We love receiving all the testimonies, and that you'll just be at a different level after today's conversation of capacity to really experience the love of Jesus to a completely different level beyond anything you've known before. And to just be really awakened into your relationship with him and who you actually are in Jesus and what this whole life is about, that his kingdom would come on earth. Amen. Amen. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Liz, so much. Blessings, guys.
So good to be with you. And guys, so thank you so much for giving us your precious time too. And I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do next week. See you then. God bless. Hi, I'm Liz Wright. I want to invite you on this extraordinary journey with me into encountering God, where together we step through the doorway of the Word of God to experience the one who authored it. So join me. Two years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.